Can you imagine in the UK, one in three are obese? You know, the surgery, they're not going to give you weight loss and you're going to lose weight forever. No, the surgery effect is only for 12 months. Mounjaro is definitely a step ahead of Ozempic or the other weight loss medication. It's all of us have to work together.
Welcome to another episode of the Another Angle podcast. We are here outside of our Hammersmith offices today. We're down at Harley Street with a leading bariatric surgeon, Mr. Ali Alamdani. We will be conducting a Q&A session alongside our CEO, Abdullah Sabia. We're going to be chatting all things weight loss medications and the current state of obesity throughout the UK. Well, thank you very much for having us down, Mr. Ali. It's amazing to be in your clinic right now. I mean, it's a pretty formidable street, Harley Street. So it's a real honour being here, especially within the industry. Okay, well, kicking things off, I mean, there's been an obvious uplift in these medications. You know, it's trending massively at the moment. So I think my question to you to really get us started is, do you view these medications as completely revolutionary? You know, as a transforming the space in a positive manner? Like, what's your perception on how these medications are being taken at the moment and how you see them evolving?
It's definitely a revolutionary step in medicine in general. And I'm a weight loss surgeon, from the start. However, I do use this medication regularly in my practice. There's plenty of spaces in my practice that require the GLP-1 analogs and the new medication like the Mounjaro. So it's definitely, there's a space in it, and it's definitely a revolutionary. It's not available to everyone. And obviously because of expenses, the NHS is not actually yet using it frankly or regularly.
So I think from our perspective, coming from a testing space and going into the online pharmacy world, we kind of stumbled across this whole service offering for patients who are truly looking to lose weight. But I think going back to our experience with patients who were, obviously we've launched a number of tests in the DNA testing. So we've done cardiac health, but we also went into the fitness, diet and nutrition. So from that experience, we know how the struggle that patients would go to through which they wanted to, when they want to lose weight, how they want to, you know, maintain a healthy lifestyle. So we know a bit or two, you know, about that space. And knowing how difficult it is for some patients to manage their weight, this medication coming along with pretty minimal number of side effects, obviously no medication is 100%, you know, risk-free, but it did give people hope and, you know, a positive perspective about them being able to manage their weight in a way that that is safe. And from our perspective, with the results that we see with the patients, we see that it is revolutionary. There's a lot of, you know, testimonials from patients that can, you know, concur that. So I'm quite positive about the future of this line of treatments with this kind of like drugs. So we'll see where the, you know, medical research would take us next.
Do you think in recent times it's been driven by an obesity pandemic, or do you think it's more or less down to the fact that people are gaining more access to these medications and they're more open to taking them as well?
Look, I mean, we must understand at the end of the day that this is a new medication. We know it's got a great potential, but still it's a new medication. So we have to be giving it for a certain indications. So I'm a bit anxious in giving it to every patient, but definitely if that patient is suitable, then we can give him this medication. In general, it's a very safe medication, and it justifies using it, even if a small side effect happen, it justifies using it for the benefit actually it can give to the patient.
Okay, so I guess touching on that, there's an understanding that it is a relatively new medication. I think coming from a patient's perspective, have you seen any real differences and responses in the different types of medications? You know, Wegovy versus Mounjaro. You know, can you elaborate on what you've seen?
Yes, yeah, definitely. Mounjaro is definitely a step ahead of Ozempic or the other weight loss medication. It's a combination of two hormones in comparison to the others, which is only one hormone, and that's why it's nearly double the effect. So therefore, it's definitely useful, and there's a large horizon to use it even in the future.
Yeah, so obviously coming from the pharmaceutical side of things, you must have seen a pretty large drive for Mounjaro versus the other medications that are available.
Yeah, absolutely. Clinical trials have shown, you know, the effectiveness of the treatment, and it was, you know, confirmed through a number of trials. You know, the latest one probably like the STEP study. So it showed that about 20%, you know, weight has been lost with Mounjaro compared to the average 15% expected with Wegovy. So it's definitely more effective, and I think clinicians know that, like from the referrals that we do get and from the prescriptions that we do get, the option to go to Mounjaro is always, you know, ahead of Wegovy or semaglutide. It's not to say that semaglutide is not good, but each medication is probably suitable for a different cohort of patients. And that's really where the eligibility criteria is essential to look at individual cases, and it's always going to be a discussion between the patient and the doctor about what treatment is best for them.
It's a really good point you touched on, actually. So when you are taking on new patients, what is some of the eligibility criteria that you try to follow when you are recommending these medications?
I mean, for example, I mean, the surgery recommendation starts from 34, 35 BMI and above with medical problems, and 40 and above with or without medical problems. So anywhere 30 to 35, this will be a perfect place to start the Mounjaro, for example, from. Some patients who, for example, have the surgery and would like to lose a bit more weight because the surgery brought them, for example, from BMI of 50 till, let's say, till 32, then they need this a bit for extra to be below the morbid obesity range, which is 30. Mounjaro would be also a perfect place to be in. There are other patients, for example, who cannot use surgery. Look, surgery is not for everyone. So there are patients who actually could not be fit for surgery, for example, severe heart disease or severe chest and lung problems that actually prevent them from going ahead with surgery. And those patients are perfect for Mounjaro. So there are a good places in our practice for obese patients to use Mounjaro. Again, we have to be a bit more careful in offering to the patient, but in general, the safety of the Mounjaro is great so far. The chance of having problems with the Mounjaro is really rare.
Right, so obviously coming from the pharmaceutical angle, we have a far larger access to the general public, and I think there's a level of awareness that is missing when it comes to the BMI criteria. So how do you really go about ensuring that, you know, the right people are getting the right medication, you know, they are on the correct BMI and it's understood where they need to be sitting in order to be eligible in order to take these treatments?
That's a great question. And you'd be surprised. People think that it's a lifestyle medicine, something that they just can take or microdose to maintain a certain weight, which is not accurate. It's a medication. You know, it's meant to be an aid for people who are trying to lose weight. When those drugs were first developed, they were actually to treat diabetes. It's no secret. But as a side effect, you know, it was shown to help people lose weight, which is a comorbidity as well in that cohort. Now, looking at the eligibility criteria, we have a clinical governance. We have a clinical criteria on how we actually prescribe. And we just follow, you know, established guidelines that were published by the National Institute of Clinical Excellence. So these kind of eligibility, you know, metrics are things that our prescribers, you know, abide by. And I think in a lot of instances, patients, they need to be made aware sometimes that why you're being rejected is based on not meeting a certain criteria. And I'm glad to see that the GPHC have recently published guidelines to, you know, what's the word in English? Ilzam.
To use this medication.
Yeah, like to ensure that the pharmacies are essentially abiding, you know, by those clinical guidelines, which ensures that access to the treatment is meant to be for patients who are obese, you know, patients who are actually losing weight. So yeah, there's a lot of verification steps that were introduced recently by the GPHC, and we're happy, you know, to be abiding by them now.
I mean, it's very important also to mention that there will be more guidelines on how to use Mounjaro in the private market specifically. And the reason behind that, because it's currently is widely available online. So patients or just even people who are not very high BMI can just log in online, find a suitable website, and they just log in and buy it, and that's it. So there is no specific checkout point for those patients regarding them, as you correctly suggest, the indication for surgery, for the Mounjaro, the eligibility to have the medication or not. There is no such guidelines. And because it's been used that widely, and for people who are not actually fit to have it or indicated to have it, problems start to happen. So for example, hypoglycemia, low blood sugars, inflammation of the pancreas, and so on. And there are reported incidents for patients who have been using the Mounjaro and developing problems for that. And therefore, this checkup point is really crucial. So I think, I believe already that these steps from the UK government and NICE are already set up to make sure this is going to be used very wisely. And there are guidelines to use it. And there are checkpoints to use it. So I think the way it's going to happen in the next few months that the pharmacies has to be aligned with the medical person who is going to be overseeing the whole process. So there's a clinical governance, as you have mentioned earlier, that's going to protect the whole system, the whole patient, all of the patients. So it's not going to be like online and just go up. And it's difficult to control, but I think this will be happening very soon.
Okay, so we've touched on the eligibility criteria. Let's say that individuals aren't able or aren't eligible for the medication. What other options do they really have?
Look, each patient by its own have their own identity, and they have their own special, as I said. This is each patient is a special by its own. So although we agree that there's a guidelines for each in general, but I think we have to treat each patient by its own. And accordingly, we have to choose the right thing for the right patient. So surgery is not for everyone. Mounjaro is not for everyone. We have to make a special, like a package of care for that specific patient. So again, for example, patients with BMI, let's say below 35, where the Mounjaro can be easily used, it might not be suitable for that patient because this patient, for example, gets severe pancreatitis and then we have to shift to surgery. And other way around as well. Patients who have maybe BMI of 45 or 50, but he's not fit for surgery. And then accordingly, we have to give them the Mounjaro or other modality of treatment other GPL-1 treatment. We have to understand that this is only part of the package, Mounjaro, whichever. Surgery, whichever. The whole point here, it's have be a both party process to achieve the best results. So it's pointless doing surgery or giving Mounjaro, but the patient's gonna sit on the couch having the hot chocolate every time. Of course, it's not gonna work. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Doing this medical treatment is only part of the solution. It have to be a combined approach because we know that there's a failure rate, and having the Mounjaro, we know there's a failure rate in having the surgery. We know there's a failure rate in having the Mounjaro and surgery together. So it's have to be a holistic approach. And this holistic approach, not only pharmacists and physicians, but have to be patients in that part.
Yeah, talking from kind of a post-care perspective, obviously, you know, you'll have people come in looking for weight loss surgery, or if it's been recommended to them, or even if they are, you know, weaning off taking the treatment, or if they are just taking the treatment. Why do you see that there is such a high failure rate when it comes to people weaning off these medications, or, you know, just adjusting after the surgery? Like, do you think it's the inability to implement these lifestyle changes, or how do you see it with the general public?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, don't forget. I mean, for example, using the surgery or the Mounjaro or any other modality of treatment will drop your weight to a certain extent. But when its effect stopped, it's up to that person on how to gonna use his rest of his life to adjust. So what we hope in this adjustment period that the patient has already understand a new lifestyle, a new way to exercise, a new way to have a healthier diet in that transition period in using the Mounjaro or in having the surgery. Because even if the surgery, they're not going to give you weight loss and you're going to lose weight forever. No, the surgery effect is only for 12 months. And after that is up to the patient. Similar to the Mounjaro. The Mounjaro effect is during the period of treatment. And after that is, we hope that in this period of treatment for surgery or Mounjaro or whichever other modality, the patient had understood that now it's time to change the way I'm living, change my quality of life, change what I'm eating, increase my protein diet, decrease the carbs and sweets and sugars and ice. Yeah, so that's the point, is that we need to reach a way that the patient will get the whole benefit in this transition period to apply for the rest of his life.
I think coming more into the pharmaceutical side of things, obviously we've got a full team. What's the process of care from an in-house perspective when people are on these medications?
No, absolutely. I think looking at patients in this group or this service line of treatment, so you want to understand that patients are trying to lose weight. To lose weight, you need to, you know, have a calorie deficit, right? That's the only way for you to lose weight. Now, the way you can get to the point where you're actually losing weight and maintaining that in a sustainable way could be aided by treatment, or could be aided by surgery, or could be a combination of two, depending on a case-by-case basis. But once the patient have started a treatment or started, or you know, went through a surgery, there needs to be follow-ups and check-ins, which we, from a treatment perspective, we do on a monthly basis throughout the duration of the patient going through that treatment plan with us. And once they have reached a certain threshold in terms of their BMI, we discontinue the supply of treatment to them, because they've reached to a point where they don't need the treatment. They should have now, you know, started shifting towards a lifestyle that can sustain that healthy weight. So that's how we approach this.
Right. So it's no secret that there is a pretty large scale perception of these medications being considered, you know, a hack, or people are cheating the system in order to lose weight. Obviously, that's not the impression that we're giving here. But on the flip side, are you of the belief that there are a large number of people, both within the UK and worldwide, that can really benefit from these medications that might not necessarily know about it?
So maybe it's maybe easier to say the question, to change the question and make it even more universal. Say, what's the population, what's the obesity problem in UK or over, all over the world?
Sure, yeah.
So okay. can you imagine in UK, 1 in 3 are obese? And what I mean, obese BMI above 30, 1 in 3. So if you want to get Mounjaro for that population, we're talking about 20 million they need the Mounjaro now as we speak. And this is a rough estimate, really. This is without considering the growing population, the long-standing problems, so what I meant is the cost of such an intervention is massive. So and that's why I say, it's again back to my original, it's a holistic approach. It's all of us have to work together. And when I say treatment, when we say treatment, offering which treatment, it's not treatment. We have to start from even before that, prevention. So that's came where the education comes. That's where come where the effect of these nice, lovely companies that produce chocolates in different type of tastes, that whichever you like, and it's impossible to resist now. How can you look? It's the way that we're living now, making this not obesity, making it as a disease, as actually a chronic disease, not even like an acute problem. It's a chronic problem in the community, and then how to address this problem. Then it's not a question of Mounjaro or surgery. It's a holistic approach for the whole community.
Right. So from an individual perspective, obviously people are looking for certain things when it comes to their providers. You know, you talk about the holistic nature of the services that both your clinic and Right Angled can provide. What do you think some of the factors are that people are really looking for when it comes to their healthcare provider, especially within the weight loss sector?
I honestly think they should be seeking specialist care, because I think this is what's perhaps not strongly offered in the space where we operate, which is the online pharmacy world. Unfortunately, what ends up being a reality is the mass you know, majority might be just looking for the cheapest provider per se. From our point of view, we always pride ourselves, you know, by having a very strong, you know, clinical board that have been overlooking the governance side of the business. But at the same time, you know, partnering with clinics and clinicians renowned like Dr. Ali, who are, you know, renowned in the space, who can, you know, add value to the cohort of patients that we have, where if a patient doesn't fit the criteria that we've set up for offering the service online, they could be referred to a specialist who can look at their case on a, in a more individual basis and can guide them through other treatment options or the same treatment option, depending on the clinical criteria they might assess them on. Yeah.
Okay, so this will be a bit more directed to the both of you, but I think having touched on these medications, and obviously they are relatively new, I think looking into the future, do you see any exciting developments coming in down the line? You know, what can people look forward to, I guess, with the development of these treatments?
There are, I mean, if you can see over the past 2 years, there was maybe three generations of GLP-1s. So I think in the next 12 months, there's going to be a new generation of GLP-1 with the combination of a pancreatic hormone as well. So going to be a new, completely new medication. And that's going to happen over the next year. And in 2 years' time, they're going to be a combination of three hormones together. So there are the advancement in medicine is going really fast. And there are new treatments coming, literally within the next 2 years.
Okay, brilliant.
You have to be prepared for that.
I guess from the other side, do you have any comment from the pharmaceutical angle?
To be fair, we just like it needs to be evidence based. So as long as the evidence is there and the marketing authorization for the treatment is available by the regulators, then we just, you know, follow what is established as accepted, you know, in the clinical world. So that's how, you know, the pharmaceutical, or at least, you know, the space that we operate in must always go.
So speaking on the partnership side of things, I know there's obviously a number of clinics out there. You know, London's a reasonably saturated city for it. What really drew you into to Mr. Ali's clinical practice, and, you know, why this relationship?
I would say from our perspective, we are always striving to really give our patients the best care. That's at the top of our mind. And I think when it comes to giving patients a channel through which they can reach or at least have access to a specialist who is able to provide them with the aftercare or that, you know, care throughout their treatment plan, then that is a partnership that we would definitely, you know, welcome and cherish as well. So I would say this is the primary, you know, driver to this. And I think being in this space in its own, you know, it just seems natural that we work with specialists who can provide patients with that level of support.
I think we're complementing each other really. So to give a patient the best type of advice that exactly tailored for that person, you cannot only work with only a surgeon or a dietitian or on its own or a physician on his own, or you need to have the whole of them and all like practicing together in one firm, yeah? And therefore we need, for example, a surgeon, we need a trusted pharmaceutical institute that actually CQC approved, you need a good physician, you need a good dietitian, you need a good psychologist. So to achieve all that under one umbrella, hence this collaboration, I think. Then you can say now, for this person to come or seek advice, you have a full complementary service. There is no part of the patient pathway, obesity pathway, that's not available in this service.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think reducing friction in that patient journey is, I think, extremely important. Having patients to go through multiple hoops, you know, to see the doctor and then, you know, be going to a different farm and going through a different kind of like follow-ups and clinical care. I think if we can unify that for the patients so they can put their mind at ease, you know, knowing that they are in safe hands, then I think the work on us is to ensure that there is a smooth process in which patients are being consulted, you know, getting their treatments delivered, and getting those frequent follow-ups through the specialist who can, you know, guide them through that treatment plan. Because it is a change in lifestyle, someone who might be, you know, at a certain BMI going through that treatment, there are things in their life will change. And I think that's where you've mentioned the psychologist. I think this is a very interesting anchor, you know, to look at in patients' weight loss journey. So, yeah.
So operationally, how do you see this partnership improving the functionality of both Right Angles and your clinic? I guess it would just be interesting to get an understanding of where you see the future lying for this partnership.
I mean, it's very simple. We already have a protocol for each scenario, so it's really simple. So for example, patient comes for initial consultation and I would like to discuss the option of having, let's say Mounjaro. And in that case, they're gonna come to me, for example, they're gonna tell me all the medical history, and I can then explore if there's any, for example, problems when using this medication or not. I'm gonna test their blood to make sure the blood is fine. So we are attached also to a GP service who can check the blood for those patients. And if they're suitable, then they're gonna go to the next stage of, for example, having the medication from a CQC approved pharmacy, and that's Right Angled. So it's literally a complimentary service again. So they're gonna help. So I don't think there's gonna be any friction or any type of change in the protocol that already exists. It's just a matter of being under one umbrella.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the most important thing is, like, when patients go through that process, they want to ensure that, you know, they can rely on the partners that could actually provide them with the dispensing of their treatments, ensuring that they can get that follow-up process, you know, in place. And should there any kind of side effects that the patient might have, there should be a channel between the pharmacist and the specialist to be, you know, kept informed about anything. So obviously the patient would still remain at the clinician's care, but if the patient was to come to the pharmacy, there should be that kind of two-way communication with the patient being at the center of that care.
I mean, it's very important also to mention that that unfortunately our patients are so vulnerable. When they go online and they have a look to the what's available, and the attracting point, as you said, is the price, then they are really vulnerable. They can go to any place and they can get a name, a medication named Mounjaro, shipped to them with literally 24 hours. And we know that some of these medications are not even stamped by the proper stamp, so we don't even know if it's a Mounjaro or not. And there are patients who unfortunately went to significant problem using such services. And I think, again, this type of collaboration will give at least a safe option to those patients.
Absolutely. I think the key word, as you've mentioned, is having that integration. It seems too obvious, but it's not being done.
Lacking.
It's lacking. I think having that, you know, working together between a pharmacy and a clinic, you know, hand by hand, to be able to deliver a service, a medical service, you know, to patients. So yeah, we look forward to that partnership. And I think it's great to see, you know, Dr. Ali in person. And I look forward to the future.
Me as well. Yeah, definitely.
Thank you very much for having us down today. I mean, it's been amazing hosting this Q&A session with yourself and our CEO, Abdullah. It's been a real privilege coming down to Harley Street on such an infamous road, especially within our space. So yeah, hopefully our audience is going to gain as much insight as I think I have today. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you so much.
That was our Q&A session with Mr. Ali Alamdani of Harley Street, one of London's leading bariatric surgeons. We were alongside our CEO and founder, Abdullah Sabia. They had an amazing conversation with all things to do weight loss. So you'll be able to stream this episode of the Another Angle podcast /Q&A on all of our streaming platforms such as YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Music. We'll see you again next week.